Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the Ladies' Home Journal, August 2010 issue. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our first article is called Memory Lame. Having an attack of forgetfulness and wondering whether it's anxiety or Alzheimer's? Don't worry, you may be losing your keys, but you're probably not losing your mind. By Margaret Rosen. My friend Patty dubs it a Swiss cheese moment. Though mine lasted for a month, I couldn't find the shopping bag containing two pairs of pants I needed to return. I knew I'd set them aside somewhere, but my repeated frantic searches found nothing. Then, long after I've given up hope of ever finding the darn thing, I reached into my raincoat pocket and found a receipt from the store. I'd returned both pairs a few weeks earlier, but I had absolutely no recollection of doing it. That's when mild panic set in. Is something really serious going on? Misplace your keys when you're 30, and it's no big deal, says neuroscientist Susan DeSante. But at 40, people start to get concerned. They sure do. My mind went straight to early onset Alzheimer's. Once I talked myself out of that diagnosis, I settled for the garden variety age-related memory loss, which still panicked me. If I had it bad now, what were my retirement years going to be like? If you've had the same kind of experience, don't freak out, says Dr. DeSante. Everybody has moments when they forget something for a host of reasons that has nothing to do with aging or Alzheimer's. Sure, aging is a factor in memory loss, the same way you may not run as fast in your 40s as you did in your 20s. And while you lose neurons as you age, your brain makes new ones. There's a big difference between normal slowing down and serious cognitive impairment, DeSante says. Even if there is something going on with your memory, it's unlikely to be Alzheimer's. Most psychological and physical disorders have nothing to do with aging can weaken memory, says psychologist Mark McDaniel. Common culprits include an over or underactive thyroid, anxiety, low blood sugar, and medications such as antidepressants and antihistamines. If you're perimenopausal, fluctuating hormones can also play a role. The same hormones that earlier years may have caused pregnancy fog. A visit to your doctor is a good idea if you're suddenly forgetful. But for most people, memory glitches are nothing to worry about. Such fogginess is most likely caused by treatable, reversible conditions. How memory works. Every piece of new information, such as here I am at the store returning those pants, triggers a complex series of chemical and cellular changes in your brain. To remember something new, your brain must encode the information, store it, and later retrieve it. A breakdown in any of those things leads to forgetting. Encoding involves all the senses, vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch, says developmental molecular biologist John Medina. How much you recall is influenced by what's happening around you at the time you're encoding, as well as by your previous life experiences, including genetics. Your brain takes in the new information and splits it into millions of pieces, sending them off to various parts of the brain. Sounds in the area develop to auditory processing, colors in the visual processing regions, and so on. Then it brings it all back together again, or not, when you try to recall something. There are two main categories of memory, short-term and long-term. Short-term memory lasts only a few seconds. You call 411 for the phone number of a new restaurant, and unless you jot it down or repeat it several times, you probably won't remember it after you make the reservation. Most people can only hold about 7 bits of information. that's digits, letters, or words, in their head at a time, unless they do something to move that fleeting memory into long-term storage. There's a reason for that. If your brain held onto every piece of information, it would be so cluttered you couldn't function. On the other hand, the smallest interruption deletes what you may want to remember. That's why you may walk into a room to get a book, be distracted by someone asking when dinner will be ready, then stand there and wonder why you went into the room. Long-term memory is a bit of a misnomer. It can mean something learned 5 minutes or 5 years ago. There are several types of long-term memory. Declarative memory is a memory for facts, such as Thomas Jefferson was the third president of the United States. Episodic memory is linked to a particular time and place, last summer's camping trip, where you went on your first anniversary. And motor memory governs everyday things like remembering how to brush your teeth. Why we forget. Most of us experience forgetfulness because of memory-sapping behaviors and habits, not illnesses. Check out the top reasons for memory loss. I bet they sound familiar. First one, too much stress. Just the right amount of stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline, keep you sharp by heightening the senses and boosting energy and awareness. But too much can flood the system. In almost every way that can be measured, chronic stress hurts our ability to think. Stressed people can't concentrate or problem solve well. They have trouble processing language and processing new information. For short bouts of anxiety, worries about your 401k, anger over an argument with a spouse, can damage the brain's memory pathways. So you then forget to stop at the bank on the way home from the office or blank on the name of the woman you met at your son's soccer game last weekend. The second cause? Too little sleep. Sleep loss cripples your ability to think logically, pay attention, and remember, says Dr. Medina. While you snooze, your brain moves information it takes in during the day from short-term memory to long-term memory storage. Studies conducted by Mary Kerskaden, a veteran sleep researcher at Brown University, revealed that losing just 1 hour of sleep per night on a regular basis can have a significant negative impact on health, alertness, and memory. The next cause, multitasking. Returning a friend's email while you're finishing a report at work and simultaneously fielding a call about your son's homework assignment may make you feel super efficient, but research shows that, in fact, you're kidding yourself. Your ability to learn and remember is seriously compromised when you divide your focus. Think of a book, says Dr. Medina. Though many words might exist on a single page, you can only read the page one word at a time. Similarly, the brain can only focus on one thing at a time, unless the other skills are so familiar it's automatic. That's why you can speed walk with a friend and still carry on a conversation. But the details of your son's homework assignment, you weren't focusing, so your brain wasn't able to lay down the memory. Working on autopilot. Not paying attention to what you're doing when you're doing it could be the cause of absent-mindedness, one of the most common memory glitches. When you can't find your eyeglasses and tear around the house looking for them until someone points out they're on the top of your head where you pushed them when opening the mail, you're struggling with that, says Harvard University psychologist Daniel Shader. It's called amnesia for the automatic. In other words, certain tasks are so routine that you don't even realize that your mind has started to wander off until you try to remember where you put something or what you were doing at the time. So, get your brain back. There's no Viagra for memory, says Dr. McDaniel, but you can make simple lifestyle changes to sharpen your memory and boost overall brain health. First, move it. Exercise is a miracle grow for the brain, says Dr. Medina. Some studies suggest that you cut your lifetime risk for dementia in half if you engage in some form of regular aerobic activity. Aerobic exercise boosts the flow of blood and oxygen to the brain, which helps you concentrate and screen out distractions. It also triggers the form of new neurons and the release of brain chemicals that ramp up your ability to learn and remember. You don't have to train for a triathlon to get that benefit either. Aim for 30 minutes of aerobic training, such as walking, biking, or swimming, 3 times a week. Next, challenge it. Just doing crossword puzzles won't cut it. What you really need is cross-training for your brain by doing many different activities. Think of it this way. Using free weights to pump your biceps tones your arms, but it doesn't do a thing for your abs. Some studies suggest you can preserve memory by doing intellectual activities that are not only demanding but meaningful. If you play piano, memorize a Bach concerto. Turn your girls' night out into a book club that inspires lively debate. Plan a family Sudoku tournament, whatever makes you work hard and feel connected. Next, feed it. What's good for the body is good for the brain, so aim for a balanced diet. Researchers show a correlation between brain health and foods containing omega-3 fatty acids, such as salmon, halibut, soybeans, flax seeds, antioxidants, berries, spinach, and broccoli, and adequate levels of folate, orange juice, and green leafy vegetables. So, de-stress it. Yoga, meditation, exercising, listening to music, daydreaming, spending time with friends and family, whatever gives your brain a rest will also sharpen your memory. So will maintaining a positive attitude. If you think, I'm getting older, my memory is going to deteriorate, so why should I bother? Memory loss can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, when do you call the doctor if you have memory problems? We all forget names or misplaced wallets, but see your physician if, number one, you have trouble with daily functioning because your brain is foggy. Number two, you start to struggle with simple familiar tasks, such as preparing meals or using a toothbrush. Three, you consistently forget common words. Four, you become disoriented or lost in your own home or on the street. And last, if you experience erratic behavior, mood swings, or personality changes. Now, here are 4 tips to jumpstart your memory. Here's your memory glitch. You're introduced to someone at a party, and 5 minutes later, you can't remember her name. Here's the brain booster tip. Pay attention when someone says her name and immediately repeat it silently to yourself 3 times. Then find a way to weave it in the conversation as many times as possible. Our next one, memory glitch. You can't remember an address or even a short grocery list unless you write it down. Here's the brain booster tip. You can probably reel off your Social Security number because it's arranged in groups of 3, 2, and 4 digits. Chunking, breaking up a string of numbers into smaller groups, works just as well for numbers as well for a grocery list. Or create an acronym. Bread, eggs, apples, and tea become BEAT. Here's our next memory glitch. Your daughter calls at 4 p.m. to ask you to pick milk up on the way home from work. 2 hours later, you walk in the door without the milk. Here's the brain booster. Next time, take 30 seconds to imagine where you'll be when you need to remember the errand. Then create a cue to prompt you. A post-it note on the outside of your tote bag may remind you about the milk as you pack up and head home. Our final jump-starting your memory. You had your keys when you unlocked the front door, but now you can't remember where you put them. Here's the brain booster. You didn't exactly forget where you put your keys, but you were probably preoccupied with other thoughts when you opened the door and didn't capture that specific memory. In the future, pay attention when you put something somewhere. Even say it out loud. I'm putting my keys on the kitchen table. Our next section is called The Answer Lady. This month, our wise and witty expert takes on gifters who go too far, the over 40 dating scene, and a problem pooch. Here's the first question. I'm trying online dating, and I worry that revealing my age is ruining my chances. Hey, I still look pretty good. Should I lie? Here's the answer. To be totally honest, if you're over 40, lying will probably get you more responses. Most dating sites ask you to list your age, so some prospective dates may never see your profile because of their youth-seeking criteria. But if you fib, they'll have a chance to be charmed before they learn you're 44 or 46. The problem is that if you wind up seeing one of them beyond a couple of dates, you'll have to come clean eventually. How do you feel about having that conversation? Keep in mind that a simple Google search could also give you up. Once he sees that class of 1984 group on your Facebook page or does a quick query on whitepages.com, he'll know you shaved off a couple of years from your true age. If that's something you're willing to deal with, join the long line of men and women who've been lying about their age since counting was invented. On the other hand, if you're a straightforward person who can't imagine doing this, then don't. You'll be better off starting with a clean slate. Our next question. Our new neighbors have a dog that won't stop barking. We live in an apartment, so it's driving us nuts. It's even making our normally quiet pooch bark. What do we do? Here's the answer. Start by giving your neighbors the benefit of the doubt. It's quite possible that they don't actually know how much noise their dog is making while they're out. Or maybe they have a new puppy and they're going just as crazy as you are. It might be a little awkward, but it's best to be straightforward, especially at first. Pay a friendly visit next door and explain what's going on and how it's affecting you and your dog. Share your own puppy horror stories to lighten the mood, or name drop your local dog trainer to provide a solution without appearing too pushy. If that doesn't work, it's time to get in touch with your building management to see if they can help. Chances are that the noise is also affecting other neighbors, so you're probably not alone in this situation. Our last question. I was invited to a friend's birthday party, and the invitation explicitly said no gifts. When I got there, I noticed that pretty much everyone had brought something. What should I have done? Here's the answer. You were right to honor your friend's wishes. That was your gift, letting her have her party her way. Maybe she didn't want to get a bunch of stuff she doesn't need, didn't want to focus the party on opening presents, or simply hoped to save her guest expense and trouble. But it seems as some people just can't show up empty-handed. You definitely shouldn't feel embarrassed or in the wrong. If it would make you more comfortable, however, send a card or bring her flowers or wine the next time you visit. Made with love. These moms rallied their community to sew more than 3,000 dresses for girls in Zambia. Darla Senecal had heard that children in Zambia needed help, but it wasn't until she saw a talk show featuring Mothers Without Borders, MWB, founder Kathy Hedley Miner, that she really understood why. There are millions of kids living in poverty there, more than 800,000 who lost one or both parents to AIDS. Inspired to take action, she told her friend Nancy Luke that the two of them had to find a way to pitch in. The prospect of making a difference in the poverty-stricken country definitely seemed daunting. Few of the children had access to the most basic necessities, like food, shelter, and clothing. Still, as mothers themselves, Senegal and Luke were determined to help. They formed a local chapter of MWB in their hometown of Bristol, Vermont, with eight of their friends and neighbors. Shortly after their second meeting, the women spotted an announcement on the national MWB website. Thousands of Zambian girls desperately needed dresses. Instructions for making a basic dress, done by stitching a skirt onto the bottom of a t-shirt, were included in the posting. The concept was simple, yet genius, says Senegal. The Bristol group made it their mission to contribute as many dresses as possible to the cause and to get their community involved. They posted flyers inviting everyone in the area to a Saturday sew-a-thon at their town hall and left collection boxes for t-shirts, skirts, and sewing supplies at local stores. This project seemed so doable, especially since I knew many other moms would be inspired to help. In fact, the Bristol MWB members and nearly 200 local volunteers stitched more than 1,000 dresses. One of their group members even flew to Zambia to help deliver the clothes. Thrilled by their success, the group held a second sew-a-thon the following year, and another two events each year after that, bringing their grand total to more than 3,000 dresses. The women are planning a fifth event this year with no plans to stop anytime soon. For Luke, the experience proved that you don't need to have a lot of money to make a difference in someone's life. Everyone was able to make a contribution, whether it was fabric, thread, or simply their time, she says. Bit by bit, we got the job done. So this month's challenge? Organize a neighborhood yard sale and send the proceeds to Mothers Without Borders. Or you can ask all the moms and kids you know to collect spare change from friends, neighbors, classmates, and coworkers for a month. Celebrate the good you've done by holding a coin counting party. Then send the check to MWB. Want to do more? Sponsor a child. Commit to giving $35 a month to MWB. That's all it takes to feed a child for a month. So go to motherswithoutborders.org for more information. That's Mothers, MOTHERSWITHOUTBORDERS.org for more information. Get fit with your kids. Fun ways to make exercise a healthy family habit. Your kids would probably spend most of their free time with their eyes glued to a screen if you let them. But getting enough activity should be high on your and their priority list. Childhood obesity is epidemic in this country. Nearly 1 in 3 children are overweight. But even kids who don't have a weight problem need exercise. Staying active improves a child's mood, boosts her confidence, helps her deal with stress, and establish habits that will keep her through life. The best way to get your kids off the couch is to be an example. You may think your teenagers tune out everything you say, but they still look to you as a role model. Just as kids are likelier to smoke if their parents smoke, they're likelier to make poor food choices and not exercise if that's what their parents are doing. Your next step? Work fitness into your family schedule every day. If you usually drive to soccer practice, leave a little early and bike or skateboard there. Your kids will be moving without realizing they're exercising. They'll feel great, which will keep them motivated. Try these other fun ideas to help your family get fit. Change sitting time into active time. Instead of lounging around the house, encourage your teen to walk around the high school track with their best friend while they chat. Turn Sunday brunch into a picnic in the park and bring frisbees or volleyballs. Cut out a half hour of TV and play Wii fencing or bowling instead. You can't do everything standing up that you normally do, but you can add fitness into your sedentary activities. Help improve the world and yourself. Sign up your family to volunteer as dog walkers at an animal shelter or a cleanup day at your local park or help with repairs for an elderly or low-income homeowner. The endorphins you get from exercise will boost your mood. Mix it up. If your teen wants a little more action, take him to an indoor rock climbing wall, or sign the class up for scuba or snorkeling lessons, or rent a mountain bike, or spend the day riding the rapids. It's not as scary as you think. Appeal to their level of competition. No doubt your kids are more than happy to fight each other when they get a chance. Try channeling that competitive fire into an organized challenge. Buy pedometers and see who takes the most steps in 1 week or is the first to hit 10,000 steps in a day. Make a chart and track how many minutes everyone has exercised for that week. Let the winner choose the next family outing and make sure it's an active one, like bowling, hiking, renting a boat, or playing in the park. Be a team. Signing up for a charity 5K race or a walk or a bike-a-thon is a great way to work toward a family goal. You can come up with a team. You can design a T-shirt. They'll feel great about earning money for a worthy cause, and they'll be proud they were able to contribute. It will be more memorable if you participate or honor a friend or a family member. Make fitness a family tradition. If you incorporate physical activity on a regular basis, your kids will look forward to getting up and out. Take a family walk around the neighborhood after dinner a few nights a week. Schedule a fitness outing every other Saturday. Or finish off your holiday meals with a group softball or flag football game. Make one birthday present per year fitness-oriented. New sneakers, outdoor games, or cool sports gear. It'll become part of your routine that your kids will likely to continue with their own families. Learn something new together. Pick a sport or hobby no one in your family has tried before and sign up for lessons. Whether it's tennis, tango, or taekwondo, you'll be all starting at the same level. So your skills will progress together more or less. And your kids will appreciate finally being on an even playing field with mom or dad. Some other things you can do. Geocaching. This sport requires a handheld GPS or cell phone app and a membership to geocaching.com. Geocaching is spelled geocaching.com. A treasure hunt that's played globally, geocaching involves finding a cache, usually a waterproof box, that other enthusiasts have hidden. There are more than a million caches slashed all over the world. Enter the coordinates to a local cache, lace on your hiking boots, and take the family on a treasure hunt. When you find it, take a prize from inside. It's usually small trinkets like toys or buttons or coins, and leave something for the next family to discover on their hunt. Try orienteering. Using a map, a compass, and your general sense of direction, you run, hike, bike, or canoe a several-mile-long outdoor course from point to point and race to complete the challenge in the fastest time without making any mistakes. Finally, maybe try caving. It's not for the faint of heart or anyone who's afraid of bats, but exploring underground caves can be exciting. You'll use maps and gloves and your own strength to navigate the world below the Earth's surface. Of course, don't head into the dark without proper training and the right equipment. You can go to caves.org, caves.org, for more information. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode from Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.